But I'll tell you, there's a message in this seventh chapter where we'll read tonight that is, it's so vast and so deep, it's so precious. I looked a lot, thought a lot of late in the 139th Psalm, the knowledge that's too wonderful for us. And well, I tell you, I thank God for what we're about to read in Hebrews, the seventh chapter. And we'll start reading in the 15th verse and read on down through this chapter. The Bible says, "And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment, going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a new, better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, Thou the Lord swear, and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for their own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." You may be seated. Tremendous passage of Scripture, tremendous account of the Word of God, tremendous testimony of God Himself and what the Lord has provided for us. And you know, I would have to say that every one of us here this evening with a sound mind and abilities would say that beyond any shadow of a doubt, we see, we know, and we understand that God gave Moses the law. God brought him off the mountain with the tablets, and he seen the sins of the people. This angered him, and he broke the tablets. We also know and believe that God took him back up to the mountain, and after he had carved out two other tables of stone, and God wrote again the law of God, and he come back with that. And I don't think that there would be any way possible that we might be even slightly persuaded that this did not occur. And even in the Ark of the Testament, my friend, where the law was kept, the stones of the tablets, I believe that there would not be any problem in any of us believing this. And that we would be convinced in our hearts and our thought process that there's no way that this law will ever pass away, but it is as eternal as God is. And children, I pray that by the help of God we might be able to get a glimpse of the surety of Christ and what He is and who He is and the office He has. My friend, for you and I, who are Gentiles, until Christ came, friend, we were the offscouring of the world. That we were not a part of the religious heritage of the Jewish nation, but God in his merciful kindness. Now listen to me. In God's merciful kindness, you and I were born out of due season. The same God could allow you and I, my friend, to have lived in Abraham's day. The same God could allow you and I, my friend, to live in Noah's day. The same God, my friend, could allow you and I, my friend, to have lived in any other time. But He allowed us to be born in the days of grace. the times of mercies, wherein that my friend, that not the law is done away with and gone, thank God for the establishing of it, but our priest is so much better than the law. The law didn't have mercy. The law didn't have grace. The law had judgment, but my friend, grace and mercy come by Christ. And God in His mercy has allowed you and I to live in these days. God, help us to be thankful and grateful that we've got such a high priest. And Lord, help us to see Him for what He is. And it is yet far more evident. It is yet far more evident. There's more proof. There's more evidence. He says that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Far more. There's more proof of Jesus Christ than there were of Melchizedek. It's far more evident that Christ is, and my friend, and this order of Melchizedek, king of Salem, a king of peace, priest of the Most High God. And my friend, this is Melchizedek and of an endless life. This is our Savior. Who brought you peace besides Christ? There's no way you'll find peace in this world. There's no way you'll find comfort, my friend, from any of mankind. But God is abundantly able, my friend, with more evidence of Christ in your life than Melchizedek could have. You and I could have only ever learned about Melchizedek. Thanks be unto God, I can know Christ. How much more evident can it be? Well, preacher, I see that, I know that. Well, I'll tell you what, my friend, I believe this. If you run into somebody famous next week, I don't think you'd keep your mouth shut about it. I'd say, my friend, if you encountered somebody that this world holds real high and exalted in the minds of men, that if you encountered them and they even come up to you and had a personal conversation, I believe you'd want to tell somebody about it. I'll tell you, Christ is far greater than anybody you've ever laid eyes on in this world. Christ is far greater, my friend, of a help and a strength to our lives than our minds can even begin to wrap around. Listen to what He said. Who is made not after the law of carnal commandments, but after the power of an endless life. I go back to when I was looking at this, and it brought me back over to Psalms 139. And if you will, let's just turn there and read just a little bit, and we'll come back. I should have put a marker there, but listen to what the Bible says. He says, now remember what we said about an endless life. And listen to what David says. He says, thou compassest my path. This is 139:3. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He says, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Friend, if God is able to know a man's besettings behind and before, that He's able to compass his path, this is an endless life. This is a life that has no bounds. And my friend, He came into this world and He was the light of men. And as He said in John, the light shined in darkness and the darkness comprehended not. But listen to me, that did not do away with the life. Listen to what David said. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain unto it. Yeah. Friend, I beg you and hear me. I plead with you. From time to time, by the grace of God, please hear what I'm about to say. Please let this sink into your heart. From time to time, by the grace of God, He'll let you see His glory. From time to time in the journeys of your faith, God, by His grace, will let you get a glimpse of His glory. Do you remember Moses over there in the mount? We've mentioned this many times preaching. My friend, he had seen the burning bush. He obeyed the commandments of God for 40 years, going into Egypt and working great miracles only by the Word of God. My friend, he's seen all the plagues. He heard the death cries. He's seen prisoners, slaves leave out of bondage as wealthy men. And my friend, greatly increased with riches. And my friend, he's seen God lead them down to the Red Sea, stack the waters up on both sides, lead them across on dry land. He's seen God destroy the armies of Pharaoh. He got over there in the mount, my friend. Do you remember what he wanted?
He said, show me your glory. Dear friend, I promise you, God, by His grace from time to time, He's able to let you see just how great He is. You will not be able to take it in. You'll not be able to comprehend it. But by His grace, you can have a glimpse of it. Amen. If you want it.
Yeah.
If you want it. But you know what? There's a lot of people anymore. They don't want it. They don't want it. Talked to a man the other day. And he told me this. He said, you know, Mike, I feel like I'm a VCR salesman. People don't use them no more. Not interesting to them. Oh, but when they come out, didn't everybody get one? Didn't everybody have tapes stacked up to watch different movies? But now we don't need it no more, do we? I tell you, friend, I really and truly fear, has our people really seen Him high and lifted up? If you see Him, you'll see Him high. If you'll see Him, you'll see Him lifted up. My friend, and David said, such knowledge that God knows. This is what I'm about to tell you is a miracle. First of all, it's a miracle any of us are saved, but it's a miracle that a God that's so high, a God that's so holy, a God that's so pure, so righteous, so undefiled, so eternal, so almighty, my friend, such a supreme being would even pay me conscience in His mind. It's a miracle. Can you imagine the thoughts of Moses when God, my friend, placed His hand upon him, my friend, as he passed by and he let him see his hinder parts. Can you imagine, my friend, what overcome Moses? He come down off the mountain and they had to put a veil over his face because he had seen the glory of God. Oh, I'll tell you, my friend, if we want to see the glory of God, we're going to have to be at His right hand. When He put His hand upon Moses, we've got a Savior that's sitting at the right hand of God. My friend, if you're going to see God, it'll be through Christ. It'll be through God. Listen to what else He says here. He says, whether shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whether shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. I'm glad, my friend, there's no escaping my God. I'm glad, my friend, that no matter how high I've ever been, He's still been higher. No matter how low, my friend, our lives have ever been, He's still able to reach me. And no matter how, if it were, my friend, I was surrounded by the enemy, I had strength and comfort that comes from God. Death on every side, yet, yea, God, I live. Move and have my being in me. Listen on. Let me jump down a few verses in the 15th. He says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. Friend, God's known about you before you were. God's known about us before we ever come out of the womb. What did He say about Jeremiah? My friend, that before he was formed in the womb, I knew him. Friend, I'll tell you what, we've got such a high, such a holy God, that my friend, that He's been made a priest after the order of Melchizedek, this power of an endless life. You and I are, if you will, a being that inhabits this world for on average of 70 years. Being born again, get to go home and live forever with God. But my friend, sadly in our minds, because we are so limited, I fear we bring God down to here instead of us going to Him. God, help us to see Him for what He is and how great and how vast He is. He says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. By what I hear Him saying, it looks to me like he's seen my end from the beginning and my beginning from the end. There's nothing about me He hasn't known. At any given moment, the very hairs of our head are numbered. And friend, if He's aware of all of these things, if it is that God has seen my substance before I was, when yet my life was curiously wrong in the most secret parts of the earth? And my friend, if he knows all about my life, do you not believe, or you're not aware? Does it not impact you that God is fully aware of the eternal needs of our soul? Come and die. Come and die. Come and take of the waters of life freely. My friend, he said, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, my burden. Learn of me. Learn of me. Don't dig to the Bible to justify what you say you think you believe. My friend, just learn of Christ. Don't worry about repeating one side of one story. Stay with the Word. It knows both sides of it all. See Him for who He is. See Him high and lifted up. Heaven help us, let me run along. In the 17th verse, this ought to get close to your heart if you know Him. He said, how precious are thy thoughts unto me. Here it is again. Why? Why, David? Why would my measly, ungodly, wretched life even inhabit the consciousness of God? Why? Mercy.
Amen.
Mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy is the only thing I can relate to that even my substance would enter into the conscience of such a holy God. Mercy! When I deserve judgment to hell, to be cast away from Him forever. I tell you what, my friend, if you found something that smelled like you and I did, hear me now and know this. If you found something inside where you dwell that stunk and looked and sounded like you and I did, you know what you and I would do? We'd throw it out of our house. We'd go outside and dig a hole and bury it. Mercy come to where we were. A high and holy mercy and changed us completely. Made us like unto the Son of God. Well, preacher, I don't know about it. I'll tell you, friend, the Bible says we've been made heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Listen on what David said. He says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. He hadn't just thought about you one time. He hadn't just entertained you as a person in his mind one time. But I tell you what, He is a shepherd that abideth continually. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're going. Sadly, listen to this. Sadly, He knows what many of us want. Sadly, He knows what many of us want. But chiefly, He knows what we all need. Oh, what's the price of that? What's the sum of it? What's the totality of the riches that God would even look our way? Oh, my goodness gracious, that God would even turn His head and look toward us. Mercy. Listen on. He says, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. I'll tell you this. It makes me uneasy to be around the ungodly for very long. You ever felt evil? It's not good. Evil's not good. You know what it does? It makes me, as we used to say, put my head on swivel. Because I fear what's about to take place. I felt evil before. Evil's not good. And I want them to depart from me. I want to get away from that evil. He told us, my friend, to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. What is it that causes you and I to know we have a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and He is the one that has called good good and evil evil, and that's the only way you and I can ever know what's good and what's evil. If we call it, oh, these people that will cling to morality, listen to me very closely, some of the most evilness I've ever encountered. Listen to me, I love you. It wouldn't hurt nobody. But some of the greatest evil I've ever encountered, it's been in a place called church. When souls of men are being weighed in the balance, and you know the Word of God is reaching for the lives and the souls, I've seen them that would oppose the Spirit of God. It's an evil.
It's an evil that is immeasurable. Listen on, we'll do our best to hurry right along. He says, surely that will slay the wicked. In the 20th, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me. God, help us all to be in these next two verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Here's a man that's getting very honest with God. And we're going to go back to Melchizedek, and he has this power to answer this prayer of what David's praying. When he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Friend, I assure you this prayer that David is praying unto God, I can tell you firsthand, I know that God has the power to answer this prayer. Preacher, I don't have no wicked way in me. Oh, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, if it weren't for the heart of God and the new creature living inside the children of God, oh, I tell you what, we would be consumed of ourselves in the day's moment. Lord, help us to see it and to know it, that we are kept by the power of God, that we are watched over, my friend, by His mercies. Back into Hebrews, and I'll do my best to hurry. He says, for He testifieth in the 17th, He says, for He testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God, we find in another place where the Bible says, when God could swear by no greater, He swore by Himself. And aren't you glad that, my friend, that these are they, as Jesus said, that testify of me? And here He is saying again, He says, for He testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You cannot add to nor take away from the Word of God, and it's God. You can go back to the book of Psalms. My Bible references it here, if I can find it right quick, like where David writes these same words, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Friend, I tell you what God has said in order is supremely perfect. When you get a glimpse of it, I believe this. As soon as you come to your senses, you're going to want to see it again. As soon as you see the majesty, the honor, the glory, the omnipotent, my friend, power of the Most High God, as soon as you get a glimpse of it and you come to your senses, you know what? You're going to want to see it again. One dose won't do you. You're going to want more. Listen on. He says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. What a blessing in this verse. I cannot draw nigh to God by the law. I cannot. Why? Because by the very nature of my life, I'm a lawbreaker, and so are you. But how is it that we draw nigh to God? By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. My friend, we enter into the holiest of holies by the leadership of the Spirit, which without a doubt is a work of faith by the obedience of grace. This is living as a child of God. Listen to this again. He said, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Is that not the way it was in your life? The law didn't make you perfect. The law condemned you in your sin as it did me. But the bringing in of a better hope did. Thank God for the lively hope of salvation that brings into, my friend, reality of being a born-again child of God. Listen on. He said, by the which we draw nigh unto God. I cannot keep the law close enough to be found pleasing unto God. But by faith in what Christ has already accomplished, my friend, in that we are complete in Him, we have access to God. The righteousness which is of by faith. Listen on. He says, and inasmuch as not without an oath He was made priest. Now listen very close. He said, and this is in parentheses, this goes back to cover what we just read. For those priests were made without an oath. They come by inheritance.
They were of the Levite tribe. They didn't have to have an oath. God didn't have to say anything. He had already said it back when he ordained Aaron. Moses was a Levite. Moses' mama was a Levite. Moses' daddy was a Levite. But then, my friend, when the priesthood came by Aaron and that of the tribe of the Levites, my friend, understanding this, that by the very inheritance of their last name made them the priest. God didn't have to give an oath unto them. The oath was given to the tribe of the Levites. Listen on. He said, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The very order of the priesthood of Christ is peace. Peace. To reconcile the soul of man unto God. My friend, the division that was in the heart of the unregenerated, the division that's in the heart of the unborn again, my friend, the opposition that you have when you're lost, my friend, Christ come to bring us peace. And if you've ever been born again, you know peace. You don't have a trouble laying your head on the pillow and going to sleep at night. Even in the darkest and heaviest of burdens, you know that our God reigns supremely. Even as we come to the places, what Job said, though the skin worms devour this flesh, yet shall I see God for myself and not another. My friend, that we are able to have confidence in that Christ has done in our hearts by faith and the power of an endless life. Listen on. He said, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's the end of the parentheses. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. This is Jesus, okay? Now, as we mentioned this morning, he did not come to do his own will, as he testified, but he came to do the will of his Father. And that, my friend, that of such a sure testament, Jesus has come. Amen? The law came. Fullness of days arrived. Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost, and Jesus came, right? Is this not the events of heaven? Well, let me ask you this. You grew up in church, and the law came. Did it not? The law came to my mind. I understood that I was a sinner. But thanks be unto God for the day that Christ came in here. Just as sure, my friend, as the law come by God, my friend, and me, even being a Gentile, God sent the law still to me. And it was my schoolmaster and taught me I was a sinner. But then Christ came. Just as much as the shepherds rejoiced, my friend, that they would leave their livelihood in the dark of night for the wolves to have, to go and see this great thing that they've heard, that a Savior's been born to the world. Thanks be unto God for the day that Christ came to me. Made me to rejoice. I could not keep from it. Set a landmark in an Ebenezer. Indeniable and undisputable. Unrebukable, my friend, that Christ come in my life. A high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. King of Salem, which is to say King of Peace. He brought me peace between me and God. The law had me at odds. The law could not make me perfect. The law could not bring me fellowship. It brought me condemnation and death. But Christ came. Thank God to my heart and my life and caused me to know peace. My friend, that's without measure. Peace like a river. Joy unspeakable. Oh, listen on. He says in the 22nd, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. You know, people, you see them sometimes, they say, well, I'm just not sure. Dear friend, it ain't about you being sure about anything. Hear me this. Be sure about this. Know this, that it's Christ's office. It's Christ's duty. It's Christ's labor, my friend. And just seeing him for who he is and what he is what brings the surety in a man's heart. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I say this. Once that faith has taken hold in your heart by grace. Grace. Oh, thank God for grace. We're saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. It's not a work of us. At least we would boast. I'll tell you what, man, we'd do. We'd brag. We'd take credit. You're exactly right, David. We'd want our portion of our glory. Wrap it up. Put my name on it. I'll take it with me. That's exactly what we would want. But there's no glory to the flesh in this. But thanks be unto God, my friend, when that by grace through faith we see what Christ has done, it brings a sure thing in the heart of a man. Something that's totally indisputable. Outside of that, you know what you think? Well, I've got to work this. I need to do that, and then I'll be sure. No, I tell you what we need to do is receive the gift of God. Receive the gift. This will bring the surety. Oh, listen on. I'll do my best to hurry. He says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Can't you see it? My friend, that they were enforcing a law that they themselves could not keep. There was biasness in it. There was favoritism in it. No, preacher, not listen to me, my friend. I promise you there was. They were those who winked their eyes at sin. They were those, my friend, who overlooked for men's persons. I promise you, my friend, they had to offer a sacrifice for their own sins before they could offer a sacrifice for the people's sins. This Melchizedek, King of Salem, King of Priests, Priest of the Most High God, the very Lamb of God, he didn't have to offer a sacrifice for himself. My friend, he offered a sacrifice for you and I. Well, why didn't he offer one for himself? He was without sin. Oh, that blesses my soul. I don't have a corrupt priesthood. I don't have one that was conceived in flesh and blood. I don't have one that relies on the traditions of men. It came from the very mouth of God. Oh, I love that. It blesses me beyond measure. Oh, do you not remember Eli's sons? They polluted the offering so great that the men of Israel, the Bible says, abhorred the sacrifice. They despised it. They rejected it. Can you imagine what Eli had seen in his day when Hannah came to pray? The Bible says that she prayed. She opened up her mouth. Her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. This is how Hannah prayed. Can you imagine what peradventure that Eli had seen? Why? Because of what he said. He had to have seen something like this before. Because he looked at her and he said, "Woman, how long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." She said, "Don't take thy servant for a servant of Belial. I'm a woman of a sorrowful heart." Thanks be unto God for knowing a sorrowful heart. A broken and a contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. And the servant of God said, "The Lord grant thee thy petition." She got up and went home. She came back and she fulfilled the vow. Oh, couldn't we see that today? Bring a suckling child and leave him at the house of God. Well, she weaned him, yeah. She just weaned him. And left him at the house of God, and there he grew up. And he waxed strong in favor with God and man. I tell you what, my friend, what a high priest we have that's able to answer, able to hear, able to be touched. Well, listen on. Lord, help us to move along quickly. He says, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." Boy, I tell you what, there's priesthood that in the days they without a doubt with men with different personalities. They had different likes and different features and different fashions. Children, our God never changes. What a blessing and what something for you and I to rejoice over that we have a high priest that changeth not. The same thing that our forefathers, my friend, the same gospel that the Apostle Paul and Timothy and James and John and all of them are preaching, the same gospels preached today. The same message. The same power. The same spirit. He doesn't change. Heaven help us to rejoice. Listen. He says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost." I don't know if you're able to comprehend
what that little phrase means right there.
And here's where that some people strain in a gnat and swallow a camel. They try to bring strength and glory and honor to their outward man and something that they might be able to do or keep from doing. But my friend, when he says here that he is able to save them to the uttermost, this means completely. This means entire. Do you believe in eternal salvation? I do to the very marrow of my bones. Now listen to me. I wasn't raised in the religious rhetoric that I grew up in. I wasn't raised to believe in eternal salvation. I was entangled in the doctrines of men and the doctrines of devils. But God, who's rich in mercy, alone in my own house, my friend, in prayer and by the word of God, He settled my soul that He saved me eternally. Though He were a son in Hebrews 6, and you want to read it at maybe it's 5 and 9. My friend, the Bible says, though He were a son, yet learned to be obedient by the things in which He suffered and became the author of eternal salvation. I don't know about you, but my eternity didn't start in 1966. It didn't start in 1984. My friend, my eternal salvation, even as what we read to you about David, my eternity, I began with God and it ends with God. And my friend, it doesn't have anything for my hands to do with it. And my friend, but I assure you this, when He saved me to the uttermost, He saved me completely.
Amen.
Now what a God. And what a priest. What a way. What an atonement. What a sacrifice. What a completeness. There are some people who have a struggle with believing that when they got saved that all of their sins were paid for. They've been told by man that if they sin, that they're going to have to pay for them. Do you know what the payment for one sin is? Death. Death forever. You can't pay for one. I'm not saying that a way of a transgressor is not hard. I know that it is. I'm not saying it's not a repentant way. I know that it is. And my friend John writes that he beseeches that we sin not, but if we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And my friend who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we ask for them. And we know by the book of Romans that it is the goodness and mercy of God that leads us to repentance. But don't let it take away from the great atonement of Christ and what He did for our never-dying soul when He plucked us in the brand from the burning. What a work God done. What a work Christ done. What a completeness was authored in the very heart and mind of God for your soul. It ought to make us want to give Him glory forever for what He has done for us. My heavens, what an all-sufficient Savior that He's able to save me, David, to the uttermost. Precious is hard. You know what? Look at it like this. People believe today that if they get saved, that the blood of Christ that was shed 2,000 years ago, in the same sense, if we can't believe it, that was shed for sins that was not yet committed because I was not yet born. But yet we believe by faith that that blood atonement will cover those sins. Yet those sins were not yet committed because we were not yet born. Why does it have to stop and end with you? Where did that salvation come from? It sounds to me like it might have come from the mind of a man. But this salvation that God brings, listen to me, is to the uttermost. It's complete. From beginning to end. Oh, heaven help us. He says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him. Listen. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He didn't just save me and set me down. He's still alive and well at the right hand of the throne of God. He's still as high and holy as He's ever been. And my old preacher, how do you know He's there? I got to see Him today for myself and not another. And my friend, there was sweet communion in my soul and His. There's a fellowship in the saved heart of a child of God. And my friend, in the sweet hour of prayer that we sang about that calls me from a world of care. I beg, I plead this day, my friend, in your heart you know that, my friend, that our great Yahweh, our great Jehovah, my friend, this great Melchizedek is alive and well at the very right hand of the throne of God right now. Oh, would we come to Him? Would we come to Him? Would we come to God by Him? Oh, heaven help us. Seeing, understanding, comprehending, believing that He ever liveth, He ever exists, He ever abides, full of light and full of life, ever liveth to make intercession for us. You know, though I am saved to the uttermost, if I speak to God, I must speak to God through Christ. He is our mediator. He is the one that makes intercession for us. Well, you've been made kings and priests unto God. I can talk to God all by myself. You got scripture for that? I don't believe you're going to find that in the book. You can't exclude Christ. You can't exclude the Holy Ghost. We don't even know how to pray except He'll make intercession for us. Unless He woos at our heart, beckons to us in our very passions and our desires, looks right down into us and say, I know you need to come to me. You and I need to have some fellowship at heart. My friend, I may want it, I may desire it, but I promise you this, when He called, He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. He ever liveth to make intercession. How do you know He's alive, preacher? He's alive right down in here. Bless His holy name. He says, for such a high priest became us, who is, or for such a high priest became us, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. How big is God to you? How high and holy is He? How separate is He from sinners? My friend, if we love the world, we hate God. Real plain and simple. If you love your flesh, you hate God. Well, no man ever hated his flesh, but he loves it and nurses it. I promise you, the carnal man does. He loves his flesh. I assure you that. But I'll tell you what, a born-again child of God, he realizes, he knows, and he understands what Paul wrote in the 7th chapter of Romans. Oh, wretched man that I am. I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Oh, it's so corrupt. As we're at this morning, the carnal mind's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Oh, we're so right in our own mind. We're so just. We're so holy. My God in heaven, if it weren't for His mercies, we'd have been consumed today. Today. Let me hurry. He says, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for their own sins and then for the people. For this He did once when He offered up Himself. Oh, what a blessing. Do you not remember over there in the garden when He said, when Mary, supposing to be the gardener, And she said, tell me where thou hast borne him hence. And he turned and he said to her, Mary. That's always been a special place in my heart, my friend, when that the Master being resurrected from the dead, and Mary perplexed in her troubles, brokenhearted and truly desiring to see Him. My friend, in Him, seeing that in her, not just her mind, and not just her thoughts, but knowing that in her heart. And she turned, and my friend, and he thought He was a gardener. Where have you laid Him? Please tell me. Tell me where you bore Him. I'll go to Him. And all He said was, Mary. She knew who He was. She said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. My friend, know this. She without a doubt wanted to touch Him, embrace Him. He said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father which is in heaven. I mean, go and tell my disciples. My friend, when you go into the law, oh, it blesses my soul. Trace the track. the very steps of Christ. He performed the office of the high priest all the way to the sacrifice according to the laws of God, to the very Jordan tittle. It's a blessing beyond measure. When you go and see how the high priest, when they went into the holiest of holies, they had to change their garments. What did Peter and John see in the tomb? They seen his garments folded and left there. What else did they see? They seen an angel on one end and an angel on the other end. Where else do you see this? The Ark of the Covenant. My friend, there was set the cherubim and their golden wings going out one way and their golden wings going out the other way. And you know what they're overshadowing? You know what those wings are reaching over? Their mercy seat where Christ laid. And he got up and he's fixing to go into the holiest of holies. And my friend, he could not be touched by man. He had to be washed a new raiment. He's going in before God. Our Melchizedek did this. Our Lamb of God, Jesus Christ the righteous. Doctrines of devils, strangers of the gospel. They read over there where the lion and the lamb lay down together. When's that going to be? My God, it's happening. The Lamb of God was laid in the tomb, and the lion of the tribe of Judah got up. They lay down together. John wept. Elder come to him and said, "Weep not, John, for behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed." Oh, that sick cell in my soul. And my friend, the lion and the lamb laid down together, and the lion got up victorious and went into the holiest of holies. And why did he do that? That I have the surety of a Savior. I'm not following a kind of vice fable of men. Thank God. Thank God. John, I know what he put in my heart. Thank God, David, he sought me out. I remember as a boy, if he hadn't sought me out, I'd have run to the four winds. I'd have never turned to him. But I know he come looking for me. He changed my whole life. So high, so holy, so supreme. And I would be something that you'd want to get out of your toilet stopped up at the house and get it somewhere under the ground where you would never have to see it nor smell it again. And what did he do? He fixed me a place like Mephibosheth at his table. Said, "Come and dine." Oh, what love. Mercy. Let me hurry. What a honey patch. He says, "Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's? For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmities." Listen. "But the word of an oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." Do you remember, my friend, when Moses was consecrating the tabernacle? Do you remember when they built it and put it all together? And they took the blood of the sacrifices and he took with hyssop and he sprinkled most everything. The Bible says that most everything was sanctified and consecrated, my friend, for the service of God by the blood. Our Savior's sacrifice has consecrated him forevermore. Amen. This has come to me twice now. And I'm not sure how this is going to come out. And I know Chris is listening on the phone, but this chemotherapy that he went through the first time, it was to eradicate the blast cells from his bone marrow. And it was a great amount of chemo that his body endured. And it annihilated his system, and it removed all the leukemia cells from him, which is a blast cell. It's an immature hemoglobin cell that does not mature into a red blood cell, white blood cell, or even a platelet. And then after that chemotherapy, and it's put him in remission, He has to go back like every 2 or 3 weeks to cement in what they have done. And it's a great work that they've helped him with, don't get me wrong. But if he doesn't go back and get more chemo, and go back and get more chemo until the bone marrow transplant, then that cancer will come back. There's people who come to church for bad situations in their life and they'll run down to the altar. And then they go back and they'll get into trouble here or trouble there, and they want to run back down to the altar and they want to get it all fixed again. It don't work like that. Mankind will continually have to do things over and over and over to consecrate them. Receive the gift of God and be consecrated forever. Yeah. Receive the unspeakable gift of God. Receive by faith through grace, my friend, the salvation of your soul. My friend, it is the gift of God. It is not a work of yourself. It's God's blessings. Receive this and be consecrated forevermore. Thank God. Thank God I've not had to go back and get recapped and repatched. Thank God I've not had to go back and try to do this again, do that again, do this. Thank God for the peace, for the joy, the consecrating work of Christ. This high priest after the order of Melchizedek. I assure you this, I've not even scratched the surface of this tonight. I've looked at this and studied it over and over. I tell you what, I won't go through it again. I want to look at it again. I want to go back over there to Abraham when he's coming back from the slaughter of the kings. And he met Melchizedek. And he paid him a tenth of everything that he had. The Bible says that many people say of this fold, go back and read it. He gave him a tenth of all. He gave him a tenth of all. And there was no law. There was no tithe standard given. It didn't come until Moses' day. It didn't come, my friend, until the day of the law. But this was still in the heart of a child of God through faith to give a gift unto God. Thank God for the amazing grace of God. May have seemed scattered tonight. I know I've just barely scratched the surface of this, but I bless His name. Oh, go home, dig this out. There's so much more here than I got to. Oh, it's so lively. It's so rich. And what Christ done for us individually, that we collectively could sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, it is beyond the measure of our mind. We'll never get to the sum of it. It's too great, but I bless His name for it. Somebody tonight, something on your heart you need to say or do for God in any way. Thank the Lord for His help. Thank Him for the liberty to preach. Oh, I tell you, I thank God for His word. Thank Him for His blessings last night and today and yesterday. Just thinking in His word, I bless His holy name. All hearts and minds clear. We'll come to order and be dismissed.